Jerry Wasserman is the theater critic for the province and is a professor of English and theater at the University of British Columbia. He's an accomplished performer with many stage, television, and film credits, and is a member of the 2005 jury for the Siminovich Prize. A popular and prize-winning teacher, he is also the proprietor of the very fine website VancouverPlays.com, an invaluable theater guide and repository of his reviews. We'll talk about his website, the state of the theater in the city, and more. Please welcome to the commentary.ca Jerry Wasserman. Good morning, Professor Wasserman.
Hi, Joseph. Jerry, please.
Well, we'll do that. are you teaching classes this semester?
Yes, I am.
English and theater, or?
Yeah. I teach, I've got one foot in the English department and one foot in the theater department, and I split my teaching between them.
And how do you find time to review plays and perform and do all that stuff?
Sometimes with some difficulty, but I've always been a multitasker, and I find that I actually work in some ways more efficiently when I've got a number of things on the go. I sometimes also describe myself as a professional dilettante, pretty good at any number of things and, you know, not necessarily great at any one of them. But just about everything that I do complements everything else. The theater criticism certainly complements my teaching of theater and of dramatic literature, and my scholarly work, my own scholarly writing, which tends to be in the field of Canadian theater right now, Canadian theater history. And then my life as an actor, mostly television and film, complements it in different ways. So I like to think of myself as being a particularly well-rounded kind of guy.
And you enjoy the work, I'm sure.
I enjoy every aspect of the work, you bet.
Talk to us about VancouverPlays.com. It's a really good website, I must admit, for if you want to know what to see, what to do.
Thank you.
And if you're like me, who has to write a theater review once in a while, it's a great resource for, you know, finding out little facts and the sort. When did that start, and who's involved with that?
It started about 15 months ago, last June. And the reason I started up for two reasons. One was I'd been the theater critic on the afternoon show on CBC Radio for about 17 years. And for the last 3 years or so, I'd begun to see the writing on the wall. They'd cut back my time. I had to fight for reviews. They started requiring that I review two plays at a time. And they just clearly weren't as interested in me and or the coverage of local theater scene as they had been. So I thought, all right, you know, I really like this position, having a public voice, being able to talk about the theater, getting free theater tickets, being kind of a public intellectual in this way. And I'd also become, as everyone is, who's conscious these days, more and more aware of how people were using the internet instead of traditional print and broadcast means to find out about what's going on in the world. So I thought I would give this a try, and fortunately for me, I lucked into a brilliant web designer named Linda Malloy, who happens to be married to one of my colleagues in the theater department. And so she designed the site for me. Well, we had designed it together, but basically it was her aesthetic and her technical expertise, and she is what we mutually call my web mistress. She runs the site for me. So I provide the content, and she does all the good-looking stuff with it. And it has, I think, been very successful. It's not the only game in town. There's a guy named Ian Martin has a website called The Boards, which also covers local theater, and I think there's probably another one or two. But I think because I had already had a profile as a reviewer and I have some profile in the theater community, mine took off a little more quickly.
And the province, there was a point in time there where they didn't run theater reviews all that often, and now you're there regularly?
Yeah, well, when I came to Vancouver, and when I started off in the theater in Vancouver in the 1970s, the province was a major player. They had very good reviewers, and they did as much coverage, and they did it as well as the Sun did. When they went tabloid in, I guess, the early 90s, they cut way back on their arts coverage, and they basically eliminated the theater reviewer position for about 10 years. Someone someone suggested to me last year that they were actually looking to expand their local arts coverage because they had gotten a lot of flack from their subscribers about just putting up wire service stories about Hollywood gossip. So I approached the publisher and the arts editor, and the timing was right for them. And I actually offered them a sort of free review a week off my website in exchange, just in exchange for publicity. And they said, no, we'd rather actually hire you on as a freelancer. And so it's been a kind of, I hate to say it, but a marriage made in heaven, certainly for me. Since last February when I started writing for them, I've had nothing but positive feedback, absolute freedom to do what I want within the limitations of their format, which is, you know, a sort of 475-word review. And I've enjoyed learning how to write to a deadline, and it's been really great. And I think people really appreciate the fact that not just my reviews and my column, but the province generally has really expanded, really beefed up its arts and entertainment, local arts and entertainment coverage, partly because of the perceived competition from the Globe and Mail, which, you know, instituted this 7 days in Vancouver thing, which is really crappy, and from the free morning giveaways. The province was, you know, feeling the pressure, so they thought this might be a way to hold on to their subscribers and readers and maybe grab some new ones.
Talk to us about being a critic, because I read Frank Rich, even, you know, I get old Frank Rich columns just to read Frank Rich, and, you know, I get read his books and the sort. Is the theater critic generally, and in particular in this city, in this market, are they influential? Can they close a show?
I would say no. I'd say there's different answers to that. You certain shows and certain theaters are basically reviewer proof. The Arts Club is reviewer proof. I think no matter how many people said Miss Saigon was a piece of crap, it was gonna sell tickets big time. So to some extent, you know, the Arts Club has put itself in a position where it's really immune. The Playhouse, I think, being on a less firm financial footing, is probably a little bit more vulnerable. And certainly the smaller theaters, a review in The Sun can probably make or break a show at one of the smaller theaters, which operate obviously on a much more tenuous kind of economic margin. I don't know that there's any other critic in town who can break a show. I don't think my review or Colin Thomas's review in the Georgia Strait or Joe Lettingham's review in the Courier can break a show, but I think rave reviews from two or three or four critics outside of The Sun can certainly help make a show, can certainly build momentum and word of mouth.
Is there unanimity amongst the critics on certain things, like I'm thinking about Miss Saigon, The Diary of Anne Frank, which opened recently.
Mm.
Are people swayed by them? Do they read theater reviews to know or to find out where they should go?
Do you mean people who go to theater, or
yeah,
do you mean do critics read each other's reviews?
No, folks in general. Yeah, do they read you people?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I think they do. I mean, it is a kind of consumer advice column. Theater tickets, especially in the larger theaters, are not cheap. God knows. You know, are you going to be paying upwards of $50? Mamma Mia, are you going to be paying $80 or $90? So people want to know whether they are spending their money in the right place. And there's certainly lots of other options for the entertainment dollar in Vancouver. So as a kind of consumer service, I think it's useful, and I think people do pay attention. Whether people pay attention to particular reviewers because they agree with their aesthetic or their opinions, I think there's a small, probably a small percentage of theater goers who are, big Colin Thomas fans, or think that, you know, that they agree with Peter Burney 90% of the time, and so they'll read The Sun or The Strait to find out what their favorite reviewer thinks, and that'll influence them. But yeah, I think, you know, theater is in a very competitive environment in Vancouver, especially now that hockey's back. I say that to people, and they say, well, do you think people go to hockey games and people go to the theater are the same people? And I think, yeah, I think some of them are the same people. And I think one of the reasons why last year was such a boom year in theater in Vancouver was because there was no hockey.
Let's talk about some of the productions that are in and around the city for the next little while. The Diary of Anne Frank recently opened at the Stanley Theater. I took that in, and I thought it was very good. You thought the same, did you?
I did. I loved it. I thought it was really good. I went into it with a little bit of trepidation because it's an old chestnut, and I think most people, when they think of The Diary of Anne Frank, they think of it as like a children's book or, you know, a theater for young audiences kind of piece. And this is a new adaptation that really beefed up the story in a lot of ways. It gave the characters some added texture, some added humanity. They aren't just saintly victims. Anne talks about her period. She talks about her sexual feelings. She talks about touching herself sexually. The Van Dan family in the household are not nice people. They're really nasty people. Anne hates her mother. I mean, these are really not sides of the story that we've heard much about. So I really liked the adaptation, and I thought the production was excellent, and the casting was terrific. The acting, I thought, was just really first rate. So I gave it a couple of thumbs up for sure.
I'm not an ABBA fan at all. So
no.
Should I go to Mamma Mia?
If you're not an ABBA fan, I say no. Don't go to Mamma Mia. I'm not an ABBA fan either, but in preparation for Mamma Mia, I listened to ABBA Gold, which is their 22 greatest hits, nonstop for about 3 days, and I kind of became an ABBA fan. I was won over by not just the catchiness of their musical hooks, but and their harmonies, but some really interesting lyrics and some real interesting range of styles. I mean, they do Kurt Vile, and they do French chansons, and I thought the production, although it's entertaining, I thought the production didn't do justice in most cases to the quality of the songs. Not all the songs are great songs either, so there's quite a few mediocre songs, and then some of the better songs aren't really given their due. The men in this production can't sing, for one thing. And that's a problem in a musical. But you know, the production values are great, and at the end everybody is, you know, standing and clapping along, and there's lots of spandex, and it's a very campy show. It's all about the sort of disco 70s. So for people of a certain age, and especially ABBA fans who are legion, I think it's a can't-miss show. And it is, it's been one of the largest grossing musicals in history. But if you're not an ABBA fan, I'd say save your money and go see, four smaller shows instead for the same price.
Now, comparing productions, and I notice this with the Jesse nominations, they split it up from larger theater, smaller theater, and then people think it's unfair that touring productions like Mamma Mia, which have big production values, get compared with lesser things.
Well, touring productions aren't actually eligible for the Jessies.
Oh, they're not?
They have to be locally produced.
But in terms of just knowing where to park your theater dollar, is it unfair, do you think, that these big flashy productions get a lot of audience, and smaller things like Mary Stuart at the Vancouver East Cultural Center, probably, that doesn't really attract a sort of mainstream audience?
Well, is it unfair? I mean, is life unfair? Yeah. Yeah,
that's
unfair.
True.
Sure, the quality should win out and over crap, and often crap wins out over quality, or crass wins out over quality, or glitz wins out over quality. And if people want to pay big money to see glitz rather than to see, serious drama done seriously well without the glitz, I don't know. It seems to me a legitimate choice. I don't think it's unfair. I think that there's a certain inevitability about it, and a production. The Vancouver East Cultural Center has its own audience that doesn't go to the Queenie to see Mamma Mia in a lot of cases, and it's a smaller audience for sure, and it pays less money for its tickets, and it doesn't expect $1 million production values, and it's not going to get them. So again, I think the value of a website like mine is that it helps audiences educate themselves about what it is that they're likely to see when they go to see a show in a particular venue. Even before the show is reviewed, many of the shows on my website contain previews, which are basically the press release that's sent out by the publicist of the theater company. But these can be much more much more informative than the one or two lines that you'll get in the Thursday paper or even in the Georgia Strait in the listings of the shows. So I think in that regard, my website does serve a very useful communal purpose.
Something that we've read a lot about, I don't know, I just get the press notices and things like that, so I get a lot of those, and so I notice it. I don't know if the general public notice it as well. Alley Cats,
yeah,
which opens at the Vogue Theater later this month.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that production. That's an original musical, is it?
It is an original musical that is written not by Vancouverites, but is being produced by Vancouverites, including the people who have been producing
Tony
and Tina's Wedding for the last 10 years, Michael Fira and his wife Tanya, and all I really know is what I've read in the press release. You know, they've gotten a couple of relatively big name, Frank Augustine, former National Ballet guy from Toronto, and the female lead is, you know, a Broadway musical star, and they've cast a lot of kind of high-level local musical theater talent. And, you know, The Bump is a feature-length campy musical paying homage to the big Broadway musicals of the past in a contemporary urban setting. So it sounds to me like Mamma Mia, you know, set in Vancouver, among, you know, the denizens of the back alleys of the city. I don't think it aspires to be art. We're not likely to see it at the Vancouver East Cultural Center. But, you know, there ought to be room in the local theatrical ecology for producers to create these kinds of vehicles to compete with people in Toronto who are doing the same thing, who are, you know, competing with people in New York who are doing the same thing on a larger scale and with much greater resources and with track records and things like that. I would just say it's the equivalent to the attempt to create a kind of homegrown film industry that is based not on the traditional depressing Canadian art film, low budget art film, low production values, but on the Hollywood model, the sort of $4 to $10 million entertainment, put bums in seats and not try to, you know, win awards at film festivals kind of approach. There's a place for that kind of film. There's a place for that kind of theater in a healthy, thriving, large enough, ecology, which in our case, I think theater ecology has become. So there.
We're talking with Jerry Wasserman. VancouverPlays.com is his website, and his reviews appear in the province. A couple of things. The Siminovich Prize, you were on the jury of that.
I was. This is really very exciting, and hardly anyone knows about it, certainly not out west here. It's a very Toronto-centric prize so far, but even in the professional theater community, surprisingly, few people know about it. This was a prize that was instituted 5 years ago to honor a medical doctor, Lou Siminovich, in Toronto, a well-known medical researcher whose wife was recently deceased, and his wife was an amateur playwright. And so he and the people honoring him decided that one nice way of honoring him and his wife would be to create a prize for theater, for Canadian theater. And what they decided was that it would rotate every 3 years. 1 year it would be for a Canadian playwright, 1 year for a designer, 1 year for a director, and that it would be a basically mid-career prize, not a lifetime achievement award, not an emerging artist award, not a one-shot deal award, but it would be, if you looked at the person's career over the last 10 years, this would be a person who's kind of established excellence in his or her field in the Canadian theater, but is still young enough and relatively inexperienced enough so that a big lucrative prize would make a difference in this person's career, would help them get to the next stage. So the prize is for $100,000, of which the winner has to dedicate $25,000 to a protege in his or her field, a younger protege. It is, as far as I know, it's certainly the richest theater prize in Canada, the richest literary prize of any kind. The Giller is now up to $50,000. The Governor General is, I think, $15,000. So this is far beyond it. The Molson Prize, which is lifetime achievement, is $50,000. This is $100,000, of which the winner gets to keep $75,000. So it's really an extraordinary prize, and I was very honored and excited and a little bit anxious about being on the jury, because I know that there are people who are going to hate my guts for not having made the list of finalists, much less the winners.
Another prize that you're responsible for is the Play of the Month prize on your website, VancouverPlays.com. Talk to us about that, $100 for the best production.
Yeah, I decided a few months ago, when we reached the one-year anniversary of my website, that I wanted to do something besides just, you know, the individual review, to let people know about productions of plays that I thought were extraordinary. And so I thought, okay, how about if at the beginning of every month I look back over the previous month and I name a play of the month, the best play, or sometimes co-winners, two plays that were the best productions, the best plays to open and run in Vancouver that month. And right around this time, I finally got to the point, I had started about 6 months ago selling ads on the site. I finally got to the point where I'm selling enough ads so that the site is paying for itself. And I thought, why not attach a little bit of money to this prize and make it a little bit more meaningful? And the winner, every month, VancouverPlays.com will make a $100 donation to the company. It's not a lot of money, but again, so many theater companies operate on such narrow financial margins that even $100 can sometimes make a difference or be a boost or help to show a granting agency that this company is actually, you know, trying to finance itself and making some headway. And again, it's been received very well so far. I'm very happy about that.
Jerry, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm looking at my list of notes here, and there's still stuff that I want to talk to you about, and so perhaps we'll have you on again.
I'd be delighted.